Hi, smooches. You're listening to Make Out Already. For this episode, we got the other Liz, who you may recognize from our episode on the middle of somewhere, to come back and talk about The Hating Game by Sally Thorne, also known as a deeply horny hate boner set against the backdrop of a capitalist hellscape. We talk about our own hating games, crushing on assholes, and the movie adaptation. Spoilers ahead.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Meg.
I should clarify that this is not the usual Liz that's on this podcast. It's other Liz with a capital O.
Hi again.
So you've been on at least one other episode. Have you been on?
Twice. Yeah, I was twice. On the episode about Hot British Boyfriend and then In the Middle of Somewhere. So this is my third one.
Repeat customer.
I know. I love it. Thank you.
So I was planning to read The Hating Game, which is what we're going to talk about anyway, but then you texted me about it, so I like fast tracked it because you said you were salivating over it, basically.
Oh, MFG, have you read it? If not, you've got to read it. I actually went back through all of the episodes of Make Out Already just to check to see if you'd read it, and when you hadn't, I was like, you need to read this right now.
So this is like your perfect catnip. Is it like your unicorn?
It is the key to the dopamine treasure trove inside of my brain. This book is not, I would not call this book wholesome. And that's okay. There's a time and a place for wholesome books. And then there is a time and a place for books that maybe have a little bit more edge to them. And I think that this is definitely one of those books.
So can you give me an example of one you would call wholesome, just so I have like a metric?
Yeah, I think a lot of Talia Hibbert's books are very wholesome in that the hero is mostly well-adjusted, maybe has some internal conflict, but is a gentleman. Well, in some senses, I guess. Not in others, perhaps, but just very unproblematic.
Okay.
And I don't know that I would call this book problematic per se, but it has an edge to it.
Yeah. So yeah, I was really just wondering if you thought a romance could be wholesome and still fuck. So I'm hearing yes, based on you saying Talia Hibbert.
100%. Yeah. No. Okay. Wholesome in that. I think some of these, you know, I've read a few dozen romance novels at this point, and there are some heroes that I think, yeah, like this is a great person, you know, maybe we've got some things we need to work on, but you know, this is marriage quality. This is long-term relationship quality. And then there are other books where I'm like, This is really kind of firing the pistons for me, but also like, I would never date this person in real life.
Yeah.
That's kind of my litmus test. Like,
right.
I don't know. I just think that the hero in this book is kind of a dick, but it also kind of works. And, you know, I just think you sort of have to know all these things going into it. And I think it helps knowing that there's a happy ending always.
True.
And
yeah,
it's a contained enough environment that I'm much more willing to let some of these things slide.
Yeah. So co-host Liz and I talk about this pretty regularly, which is like the things that really are our ministry in the romance novels are not like the actual men that we have chosen to partner with for our lives.
Yeah,
like,
no.
They're virtually opposite. And I think it's because it's like, there's a time and a place for fantasy. And it, there's something, like you said, contained and like safe about it being not in real life.
Right. Not real.
Yeah. So you are doing a second round reread of it.
I am.
So I am going to do the recap, which if you have listened to episodes of this podcast before, you know that I struggle.
No, don't recaps. Say that.
They become meandering. Please jump in and like,
okay,
course correct me as needed.
Got it.
Okay. So we're talking about The Hating Game, which is by Sally Thorne. It was published in 2016, and it was actually her debut novel, which I was like, wow, good for you. Like, you have this immensely popular book, and they make a movie out of it. So since then, she published a book called 99% Mine, which I have heard of. Second First Impressions, which I think came out last year. And then there's supposed to be a forthcoming book called Angelica Frankenstein Makes Her Match. And that's maybe going to come out later this year. I don't know. I'm just getting this information from Goodreads. So I would say that The Hating Game is about a deeply horny hate boner.
that can only take place
against the backdrop of a capitalist hellscape. Because they're like working together like 50 to 60 hours a week, and they're like into it, and they dream of labor, and I don't.
Yeah.
So our two main characters, so we have Lucy Hutton. She's small and sweet and cute to everybody except for her work nemesis, Joshua Templeman. And they've worked together for a year. They've been sitting at desks directly across from each other, being weirdly obsessed with each other.
In a way that would never happen in real life, but in a way that it just like, it creates the perfect circumstances for a romance novel.
It's like, you know that Mariah Carey song, Why Are You So Obsessed With Me? That's like the vibe that I get.
Yeah, like, love me or hate me, it's still an obsession.
So what happened was their two publishing companies that they worked for merged, and they occupy the same job role for each of the co-CEOs who happen to also hate each other's guts. And Lucy is this like big time people pleaser, and Josh is like a Terminator. Like a very fit Terminator.
Outer layer of the Terminator suit is
most appealing. So apparently they're both super competent at their jobs, despite the fact that they seemingly like spend all their work days just fucking off
doing and, like, nothing, yeah,
playing their games staring with each other, which are like the staring game, where they're staring at each other across their desks, which is just, like I said, a deeply horny move. The mirror game, where they subtly mimic each other's movements. The HR game, which is like they get into this repartee, but then they like threaten to involve HR, which is especially troubling to me.
I agree.
The CEOs then announced that there's going to be a new opportunity for a promotion. They're creating a new position that would be above their current role as, are they like administrators?
They're like Dwight Schrute, and that they are the assistant to the CEOs. Yeah,
exactly.
But so the departments all report to them as well. So right. They're not just like kind of hanging out there alone on the org chart.
So instead of being assistant to the regional manager, they would actually be assistant regional manager.
Exactly. Precisely.
And that really pits them against each other, because both the CEOs have made their intentions clear that they'd like their pet to be the one to be promoted. And Lucy's vows that if Josh gets the promotion over her, she will quit, because she will not stand for working under him, so to speak.
At least not in the beginning of the book.
Yeah,
right. Wink.
So then, for reasons that I guess are because of this new rivalry, Lucy has a sex dream involving Joshua Templeman, and she decides to, she's feeling kind of weird about it, but she decides to sort of use that as motivation to engage in this like new level of like psychological warfare.
Yeah, where she's feeling herself, is pulling out all the stops. Yeah. She's got her fishnets on.
I was like,
five inch heels, like what how do you own those? And is definitely, yeah, she's very heavily coming onto him as a way to kind of manipulate him.
Yeah.
Without really understanding why she wants to
right
use that form of manipulation.
But they end up engaging one of their usual games of like one-upsmanship, which leads to Lucy having to like fake that she's got a date later, and then she actually has to go get a date, which happens to be another coworker, which is also troubling. And things escalate to a very, very steamy elevator makeout scene, which mm-hmm. I personally enjoyed.
Yep, bookmark that one.
Yeah. So the tension just keeps ramping up as they get closer and closer to the final presentation for this promotion, and like the heat is ramping up between them at the same time, and they're caught in this sort of like back and forth between being like tender with each other and like being vulnerable and then being vicious with each other, and mm-hmm. they're each trying to figure out like when the other one is being genuine or not, or like if it's just another level of fuckery. But
and it's just like a massive mind fuck too, at least for Lucy, to because she fiercely hates him. Like she violently hates him.
Yeah.
And then things get kind of, like you said, sort of sexy, and she sees a vulnerable, like you said, tender side of him. And I think it's just all very confusing for her what it all means. And there's a part of her that just doesn't believe that he doesn't hate her. Eventually she kind of realizes it.
Yeah. But
it's quite the, I've read a few enemies to lovers mm-hmm. books before, and this one is, it's pretty extreme. Pretty extreme. The pendulum swings far throughout this book.
Yeah. Some of the things they say slash do to each other, especially in the beginning.
Yeah. We can get into that.
So I'll just skip sort of to the end. Spoiler alert, Josh is being super genuine about his feelings for Lucy, despite acting like a total dick to her for months prior mm-hmm. to this, in a really sort of baffling move. He has painted his bedroom walls the color of her eyes, and she learns this and interprets it positively, like as a good thing.
Right. Like, you're not a psycho.
Right. And so at the final hour, Josh resigns his position and resigns his like bid to for the job that she's up for and takes a job elsewhere. Lucy gets the promotion, and now they can just love, hate each other forever. Mm-hmm. Yay!
Play all kinds of new games.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about complaints first? Or do you want to talk about things you would like first?
Meg, I know that you just love talking about grievances so much.
I really
but let's start. Let's put a pin in that one for now, and we'll get back to it.
Okay.
Let's talk about what we loved. I'm curious to hear your thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, I really liked a lot of their repartee, a lot of their back and forth with each other. And that translated really well to the movie adaptation, which I'll talk about later. And I also liked some of the things about them that were just kind of weird. Like Lucy's Smurf thing. Like, mm-hmm. it's I get like kind of annoyed with romances that their characters are like so normal and everything they do, even if it's supposed to be weird, like Quirky Girl is still like kind of sexy.
Right.
And like collecting toy Smurfs is like decidedly not a sexy thing.
Quite unsexy. Yeah.
So I liked that a lot. And I was trying to think like if Mr. Mag and I have ever engaged in any of these like horrible, horrible games.
Yeah.
To see if we had, and like there's like a cute-ish game that we play, which is like in my head it's like the sleepover game. So like sometimes if we're like going to sleep and I'm like for some unknown reason have energy left, which like happens that twice happens. Or three times
yeah.
a year.
Yeah. Once in a blue moon.
I'll be like, hey, who do you have a crush on at school?
Aw.
Who do you think's the most annoying class? So the thing is, we try to keep it going back and forth for as long as we can, like just coming up with things as if it was like a third grade sleepover.
Well, that's adorable.
Yeah, that's nice. We do have some less nice ones where like if I say something incorrect and like if I mispronounce something and he'll say the word with the actual pronunciation, I'll just say Gesundheit afterward like and ignore him and keep plowing on. Or if I correct him, he'll be like, well, what did I say? Well, what did you say? And he like keeps going back and forth with it until I'm just like, oh, I'm gonna cut your head off. Okay, so what were your favorite things about it? It seems like you're into enemies to lovers kind of.
Yeah, I think I am. This book really had me by the throat.
On the neck.
For real, there is so much sexual tension in this book. Would you call this a slow burn romance?
I don't know. It's kind of like a learning to drive romance. Do you know what I'm saying? Where it's like you accelerate and then you get scared till you brake real quick and then you accelerate. So you're just like jerking sort of back and forth.
Right. Yeah. That's fair.
Because it happens seemingly in fits and starts. I guess the slow burn part would be the year that's off page that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking like it goes from their usual kind of banter to
them. I had a sex dream about you last night and
let's make out in the elevator.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
That's like pretty fast to me. Right. But anyway, go ahead. I interrupted you.
I think that what I loved about this book was they know so little about each other. And so, you know, it's from Lucy's point of view, the entire book. And so anytime you can kind of peek into Josh's life, or anytime you learn something more about him, it feels so rewarding. There's just all this mystery that builds and it really feels like kind of slowly breaking down walls as you go through. And I also just love the external conflict. I guess that there's internal conflict as well, but I don't really know how much working together factored in what was keeping them apart. It didn't really seem to matter that much.
It was more about how they behaved with each other.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's really, really just dripping in sexual tension. The whole book is, you know, I think the author, like she gives it to you in like bites and pieces, which I guess all romance authors do, but, it feels really rewarding. I thought it was, completely mesmerizing.
I kind of felt like the book is almost like an intro to kink 101, you know what I mean? Like, or kink light, because it's like the game playing and the like almost sort of like role playing, because they're not really being themselves with each other.
That's a good point.
Kind of seems that way. And especially when they've already like made out in the elevator and she goes on the date with Danny.
Mm-hmm.
Who I liked, but you know, fine. He's not Josh. And then she gets in the, I think she's like in the closet with Josh later, like in the janitor closet, and he's like, go on this date tonight, kiss Danny,
yeah,
and come back and tell me that no one kisses you like I do, or this is gone.
Right,
like,
yeah.
You'd say goodbye to this. So that also was like a little almost like Dom type
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that it's like a kink book, but some of the things were kink reminiscent to me.
Right. Like he was ordering her to do things.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I kind of wondered how, this is, I feel like, a pretty traditional romance. Mm-hmm. It does fuck, and they do use some foul language. But that felt more like pushing the envelope a little bit of like your standard, like, contemporary romance. So I kind of wondered how people would feel about her, like, kissing another guy.
Right. Yeah.
She'd already been involved with Josh.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's a good point. I also think that Sally Thorne's writing style was so unique. I thought her writing was so clever, the way that she described things. She uses a lot of hyperboles, which I really love, because I think we all think in hyperboles. Everything is extreme, you know. This is the worst day of my life. I'll never survive this. Or even when she's kissing him in the elevator, she says, like, I think she says something like, the goal of the game is to like never fucking stop, like, kiss for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It was different.
So what did you think about their family relationships? I wasn't really sure what to make of Lucy's family exactly.
Yeah.
Except that it gave her like a window to analyze like her career versus her love life or personal life.
Yeah. Because her mom was a reporter for the town newspaper, mm-hmm. and then met Lucy's dad, and who wanted to start a strawberry farm. And so she kind of gave up her passion to be with him, and to help him run the farm. And I think Lucy did not understand that. She said in the, in kind of her internal monologue, she talked about how she just thought it sounded really sad.
Yeah.
I thought I think they sounded like wonderful people. I was kind of didn't understand why she hadn't seen them in 18 months. But apparently it was because she's been too busy with work. The whole situation where Josh's brother married his ex-girlfriend within a year of breaking up. I don't know. I cannot imagine that happening in real life and showing up to the wedding. And it being fine.
That she mentions this because, like, what was her name? Missy? No, that's not right.
Mindy.
Yeah. So Mindy and Josh dated for like a year.
Right.
And so, like, they definitely fucked.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And then it's like, I don't know about all that. I would have a really hard time. And I also, like, I loved his mom. There's kind of like a parallel drawn between Lucy's personality and his mom's personality, mm-hmm. as far as like tolerating a sort of like dickish partner.
Yep. Yeah.
But I like Josh's dad's a complete ass.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why is she putting up with
this? It makes no sense. And even she knows it, like Josh's mom knows it too. To the extreme, I have a hard time believing that it felt too extreme. Okay, yeah, I'm sure there are families out there who want all of their kids to be doctors, but I don't know how many families would actually want to kind of disown their child for deciding to drop out of medical school, which is what Josh did after a year. But, you know, that's okay. Suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, it's just, that's one of my grievances, I guess, is that he seems like a real two-dimensional villain. Like, it's just so extreme that he's like, he talks about the term or the phrase, the heir and the spare, and how he's the spare. Yeah, and so he just like never invested any love or attention or energy into him, and like
for no reason,
going all the way back to like childhood, like that's like sociopath behavior.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But I verged into grievances. So if you have other
things. Oh, no, no, that's okay. Yeah, I can go.
Okay.
There were a lot of sort of empty, not really empty, questionably empty threats of violence, especially towards the beginning.
Okay, for example.
They told each other they wanted to kill each other so, so bad. And, you know, before the elevator scene turns sexy, mm-hmm. I think Lucy actually...
Just thinking about strangling him.
No, that she was worried he stopped the elevator.
Oh, to kill her.
Yeah. I was like, this is pretty extreme.
Big yikes.
Yeah.
Like, is he going to make out with me or murder me? Like, we don't need that level of tension.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have a murder kink. Maybe it's out there, you know, more respect to you, I guess, within the confines of, you know, safety and all that. And actual not murdering people, but yeah,
non-murdering,
right? Like, let's be clear here. I do not condone murder. Let the record reflect. Yeah, it just sort of, it was the first, I mean, I obviously got used to it, but it was quite jarring the first time when he was like, I just want to kill you. And I was like, oh my God, this is some hatred we've got going on here. And it also doesn't make sense to me. How could you ever say that to somebody that you have loved the whole time since the moment you met them?
Yeah. Okay. So that's my question for you now that you're on mm-hmm. the reread, which is like, you know, we're finding out about the shirt being the color of her eyes mm-hmm. and the wall in his bedroom being the color of her eyes, like toward the end when we've already seen like a lot of character development happening and mm-hmm. Like knowing a different type side of Josh. But when you go back to the beginning and you're looking at them like at each other's throats, how can you reconcile that with the fact that at this point, allegedly his bedroom wall is already the blue of her eyes?
Kind of. I mean, so it definitely Sally Thorne, like, when you go back and read it and you have that knowledge that he loved her from the moment that he met her, you can see how he reacts to her. It's written in, but there are some things that he says to her. I just cannot imagine a human being saying to someone else, like, you're pathetic. It's so mean. How could you stomach saying that to somebody, to anybody, much less somebody that you love?
Yeah. Plus there's like that sort of built-in power dynamic with like him being a man in the workplace, right.
Yeah,
like I don't know, to be then telling her that, and the fact that like she cries like on a somewhat regular basis,
yeah, and she goes on her date with Danny and Danny tells her he's beautiful and it upsets her, or it shocks her and touches her so much because apparently she says, you ruined me, to Josh.
Yeah. Her like first instinct is to think that he's fucking with her. Like,
right. Yeah, exactly. Because of the way that Josh has tormented her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, this book is not wholesome.
A big component of that is like that this is a workplace romance, mm-hmm. you know, and all plays out. Most of it plays out in the context of their workplace, and that like, I really had to suspend some mm-hmm. feelings about that because like this is a extremely toxic work environment.
Oh, 100%.
Like the things they say to each other, the like violent things, the hateful things, and then the sexy-ish things that when they don't seemingly mean them yet.
Yeah.
It's like, oh God. And the fact that they've each been like written up by HR before.
Right.
Like that's if they really care about their jobs as much as they claim to, like mm-hmm. I would take it extremely badly if I had to be written up by HR. Like I would be devastated by that. So I don't know. I found that kind of doing me an upset.
Yeah. That was a grievance for me as well as some of the sexy things they said to each other. I mean, that's harassment. That would never...
Yeah, especially when she's talking about the dream and stuff, like at the very beginning. Oh, golly.
But again, like this is a fictional workplace and we are in the confines of a romance novel. And understanding all of that, it's pretty well written. I enjoyed the banter. I thought it was really hot. And so one of the things that I like about that I like about the workplace setting is just the environment. And you and I were talking about the reason that Regency era novel romance novels are so popular, and it's because there's all this external conflict and this sexual tension, but there's something that's keeping them from acting on it, and
the constraints.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I feel like the workplace is similar, but again, just as I would never want to live in Regency era England, I would never want something like this to happen to me in real life. It sounds even like a nightmare.
It kind of feels like in some ways we are returning to Regency England, mm-hmm. in the sense that,
yes,
the political hellscape that we are currently in.
Burning in. Yeah.
Okay. Did you have other grievances?
Oh, just one, a minor one. Also, I just want to say, I know I've talked a lot of shit about this book in this, in the last few minutes.
There's no judgment here.
I really did love this book. It just, like I said, it was a dopamine machine. It was so rewarding. I hung on to every word. And I
have some of my biggest grievances about books that I enjoyed the most, just because I'm so invested in them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, here's how you can be even more perfect.
Right. Yeah. It's like, Josh is a horrible person, but like, damn, is he hot? And why is this, you know, why is this doing things to me? Cause he's just, you know, he's kind of an asshole. The last grievance that I had was just that Lucy realizes that she's loved him the whole time. And I'm like, are we sure about that, Lucy? I don't know how you could confuse. Yeah. I understand the obsessive, like I don't know how they got any work done, because she was constantly obsessed with what he was doing. She noticed what color, the order of the color shirt he was wearing every day of the week. And I understand the obsessive element, but I just don't know how you could go, because they're two extremes. And I'm just like, I don't know that it just dawned on you one day that, oh, you know what? Actually, I didn't hate
you. I loved you the whole time.
I didn't, Lucy, want to kill you.
It's time to go see your therapist and learn about how to tap into your own feelings and emotions and identify them. It is. Yep. Oh, she does spend a fair amount of time objectifying him physically.
Which I highly enjoyed. And he was like, yeah, at one point he said, you know, can you like not do that anymore? I have a heart, I have brains, you know. And she kind of listened, but she also kind of didn't.
Okay. Have you ever had a real life crush on a Joshua Templeman style asshole?
Oh yeah. Definitely. No, not on a Joshua Templeman level.
What about like a celebrity that you think is an asshole, but you still think is hot?
I have to think on that for a minute, but do you have somebody in mind?
I'm thinking too. Well, I am thinking, because it came up in one of my group chats this week. My big hate boner is for Jared Leto. Because I have to respond whenever I see him come across my like social feeds. I have to say something about it to like the group chats, and it sparks this simmering hatred in me. But yet normally if I disliked someone, I would just ignore everything about them and, you know, just like not make it part of my life, but I have to react.
Yeah.
So his Met Gala, did you see he had like a body double essentially? It was like two Jared Letos. I was like, my God, fucking hate this. And why? Liz was like, but why are you talking about it?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Ah! Okay. But like, do you think he's sexy? Do you think he's hot?
I mean, I can see that he is attractive by like our cultural standards. Am I attracted to him? I guess in some way, because I'm, like I said, reacting to whatever he puts out there, but I also feel revulsion. So I don't know.
It's real revulsion.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not just confused.
I'm like, if you never came across my social media feeds ever again, I would be fine with that and not sad. But as it stands, I have to have feelings about it.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So
did you have any more grievances, Meg?
No, that's pretty much it. I thought the nice guys thing was kind of like weird. Like, yeah, of course women like men who treat them with respect. Like,
I know,
that's
I
not that's not too much to ask.
Right. Like, yeah.
Okay. So who is your worst half of the pairing?
I mean, I think it has to be Josh. I do think Lucy has some flaws, but I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit when I think 3/4 of the book, Lucy was like, oh, he's just shy. Mm-hmm. Like pulling a Darcy card, you know, like
the Darcy card.
Yeah. Everyone thinks you're an asshole, but you're just shy. But he's not just shy. He actually is an asshole.
What do you think's his most egregious crime of assholery or of worst halfery?
Right. I think he's mean. I think he says some terrible things to Lucy. And even in the end of the book, he admits, like, you know, I'm not going to hurt you again, but yeah, I might be scary. And if anybody gets in my path, like, they better be scared of me. I'm just like, oh, I don't like that.
I'm clenching and I don't know if it's in a good way.
Yeah, no, not in this instance. He is not a nice person.
He does some like weird territorial.
Yes. He's also very possessive.
Behavior. Yeah. Like the paintball thing where he's like making her be on his team and like shooting Danny a bunch of times unnecessarily with the paintball, which was kind of funny. The thing I think is the most, like I already mentioned, the bedroom color is like a weird thing that I would not in real life feel positively about really at all. If I believed him, I'd be like, no, you already had this fucking color. This is coincidence.
Right. Yeah.
But the coded marks in the planner.
Oh yeah. It's pretty insane.
I'm like, you're going to make a mask out of my skin like that. That's what's gonna happen. But he is like hot.
Exactly, right? It's the whole like, I'm physically afraid of you, but like I'm also kind of into you. I don't know what that means about me. Yeah, I agree. Especially when, one of the markings is she wearing a dress or a skirt? That is kind of like, like Dom kink. Like, and he's very possessive of her when it comes to Danny. And just gets really angry.
And like refuses to believe that she would have a date with someone else in the first place, which her boss kind of turns out, or I think it's her boss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of mentions later that like, he probably just thought that because he can't imagine you being with someone who's not him.
Right.
I'm like, okay, but that's weird still. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I feel like I need to give a caveat too. I similarly blew through this book in like a day and a half.
Mm.
So I enjoyed it. And I listened to the audiobook while I was getting tattooed. Really, I mean, I felt like medium warm about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really liked the movie.
Oh, okay. Tell me. I want to hear about the movie.
Okay. So it's on Hulu. Do you have Hulu?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's worth a watch for you.
Okay.
It came out last year and it's got Lucy Hale, which I kind of like that they have the same that first name.
Who I was imagining her. That is crazy. Wow.
Yeah. And then an actor plays Josh that I had not heard of before, Austin Stowell.
Okay.
But I kind of had really low expectations for it. Like I thought it was going to be hot garbage just because that book was so beloved and like the movie was kind of just flash in the pan and I didn't really hear much about it.
Right.
But I really liked it. And I don't know if it would be the same if you had not already read the book.
Okay.
Because they have to cut out a fair amount of material and resolutions. So for me, it was like watching a recap of the book, but brought to life with some of that chemistry. So I really had a good time watching it, but I think that it would be hard to get with it and get with the transformation in their relationship if you hadn't mm-hmm. gone through the journey in the book before. So I have a feeling that's why it didn't do so successfully, but it does have a 73% on Rotten Tomatoes. So
that's not the worst.
No. And I think that that rating is all due to the chemistry between the two leads. It's like impeccably cast. It's so good. Like they just have the kind of back and forth that you need to pull off some of the nasty things that they say to each other while still being like playful enough.
Right.
And the makeout scenes are giving Chef's me kiss. Pants feelings. it's not too graphic, and the like sex is really just implied, but mm-hmm. you do like see makeout scenes, and it was just like I must be like the niche audience for it, because it was like a really good combo of like being raunchy in terms of like using foul language and mm-hmm. like the sex scenes and just some of the like humor, but also like really cute and like cuddly kind of. So it's like this perfect little overlap for me.
Yeah.
Of the two. Do you think you'll watch it?
Yeah, absolutely. I will say, I think the times when they were sweet to each other, I thought mm-hmm. were really very cute and sweet. And I don't know if that's just because the fact that he isn't that way all the time, Joshua, mm-hmm. if in contrast, it felt that much sweeter.
Yeah.
Or if it just actually is sweet. And I also, I really liked Lucy. I thought that she had some flaws, but how she just sort of like threw herself at him and in a way that, you know, probably is not, she's definitely not, she's laying all her cards out on the table quite early. Once she realizes that she's into him, she's like, oh, wait, this is a thing. Okay. Like let's do this every night. Like I'm coming over immediately because I cannot sit still in my apartment.
Yeah.
And I don't know, he teases her that she's clingy, which, you know, if you're first starting to date somebody, that's your worst fear is that you're going to be clingy. And she's just like, yeah, I don't really care. And she's just sort of a dork about it. Which I thought was cute.
I liked that she was like openly horny and like being like, let's just get this out of our system.
Right. Like, yeah, like it'll be so much better at work, you know, this weird tension we've got going on.
Yeah. Her priorities are clear. Like, I want to perform better at work. So we need to perform here in this bedroom
tonight. Now.
So what, like, when you're talking about moments when they were sweet to each other, are you talking about like when she's sick after paintball?
Yeah, or... definitely when that was one of my favorite sections of the book, because it's the first time we actually see him be affectionate towards her and mm-hmm. take care of her. And, but also I think it's there's a lot of weird stuff in here. Like when she sort of goes to his apartment and just to kind of like walk around the premises so, a little bit,
scope it out.
Like what's going on? And you know, he's on a walk or whatever and sees her and invites her up and they just watch ER together, which I thought is just so real.
Yeah.
And I think she goes back the next night and he makes dinner for her and they play truth or dare a little bit, which is not, it's very much like we're sitting on the couch and we're just talking truth or dare, not like, you know, go do something crazy, truth or dare. But I don't know. Just the way that he holds her and in his own kind of quiet way, I think mm-hmm. is sweet.
Yeah. So is that like your favorite scene or?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
What about yours?
I feel like there's a long sort of history and now I can't think of like a bunch of examples, but notably I think of You've Got Mail where it's like one character gets physically sick and they're like their immune systems and their emotional defenses are lowered as a result and so like it progresses the relationship kind of so
like you're literally delirious, you will say anything, you have no filter anymore. And the caretaking the aspect of it where somebody's got to step up to the plate, you know, I will mm-hmm. say you know, I'm getting really tired of in romance novels, there's this trope of anytime the female hero is, and this is just in like male female stories, anytime the female is, her safety is somehow threatened, either or she's hurt somehow, the overprotectiveness of the male here, I'm like, oh my God. Like,
or when they like get mad, when they get mad, like, how dare you put yourself in danger like this?
Right.
Like,
and it's like, oh, he tensed up and wanted to know, you know, I'm just like, oh Jesus Christ, can we get past this? Like, I'm just going to next page, next section. Like, are you done being
AKA the entire Ice Planet Barbarian series, but I do not hate it.
That's okay. That's okay for me because they're aliens on another planet that is
and they're non-toxic wasteland.
And they're non-toxic, but and so I kind of liked that obviously trope was very obviously not in this in this book at all, so I kind of appreciated like, oh thank God I finally get a break from that. She can take care of her damn self, okay?
I think the like illness and the paintball scenes don't really translate as well to the movie version, but the like her being sick in her apartment and him taking care of her scenes, I think do translate. I'll be very curious what you think when you watch it.
Oh, I will definitely let you know.
Okay, so do you have any hobbies you want to bring in or any recommendations for further reading or watching?
So I read, this was a few weeks ago, I talk every time I come on this podcast, I talk about Talia Hibbert. I don't know if you've noticed that. At least once.
The you need to have like a counter going.
It's like, exactly. Ding, like ding. 7, 8, 9. She recently, so I'm on her email newsletter list, and she was saying how this is, it's something that she wrote, not really expecting it to be big. And I can't even remember what the situation was, what made her write it, but it ended up being one of her favorite books that she's written. Mm-hmm. It's called The Roommate Risk, formerly called Wanna Bet. And it is so angsty, and it is friends to lovers, where the male protagonist is pining over the female protagonist for years. And so if you're into pining, if you're a little bit into a tortured soul and some angst, and then obviously like a lot of sex because it's Talia Hibbert, then I think The Roommate Risk is the one for you. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that sounds good. Pining. How many souls was that?
Part of me just wanted to be like, dude, move on. But you know, they're best friends. And so he feels like he can't make a move. But her flat, I think a pipe bursts in her flat. And so she has to move in with him for a week. And as you can imagine, some sexy things ensue. Boundaries are lowered when you live with somebody. It was a great read. I would recommend.
I'm very interested. I'll put that on my summer vacation reading list. I'm very excited about. So also on my summer vacation, which is in 2 weeks, reading list is Emily Henry's new book Lovers.
Okay, yes.
It came out earlier this week, and it's like killing me to not go ahead and start it, but I'm like really trying to save it for my vacation. But my recommendation is another of her books, Beach Read.
Yes.
Have you read that one?
I have not. I actually have The People We Meet on Vacation. I have it like on my bookshelf.
Oh, they're both just excellent. That's why I feel so certain that Book Lovers is going to be great. But we actually did an interview on that book, or a podcast episode on that book, with Melody. So if any of you have read it, you can check out that episode. But it's got a similar like enemies to friends to lovers arc in the context of their work, even though it's not, they're writers, they're not in a shared workplace, so it's not as like HR cringy,
right?
And it's based similarly to this one on sort of a misunderstanding off of the get-go. So it's got some really good tension in it. It's not anywhere close to as Haiti as this one, but it does have some good like curmudgeonly moments that then like melt into more genuine stuff. So I recommend that very strongly.
I'll give it a read.
Any final thoughts?
No, I would recommend this book though.
Yeah, I would too. And I really want to hear from you when you watch the movie. It's only like an hour and 45 minutes. So it's like not.
It's a short ass movie.
It's not the Batman.
Okay. Yeah. The SNL did a skit recently about it's called Short Ass Movies.
Oh, really?
Like Pete Davidson just singing about how, like, I don't want a 3-hour long movie on Netflix. Like, just give me a short ass movie, a minute 45 max. I don't know. It's just like nobody's got time to watch a 3-hour movie. So
that's exactly how I feel. I'm like, keep it to a tight 90 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Let's credits. How long are the credits? Like, can we say, yeah, probably about 85 without the credits.
Okay. Well, I will put a link to that video in the show notes, as well as to all of our socials and the Beach Read episode and our website. So we have another couple of episodes coming up with some guests that I'm very excited for everyone to hear. But until next time, air kisses. Mwah. Mwah.